What's up with it, Vanilla Face? Me and my homie Azamat just parked our slab outside.
Please.
We're looking for somewhere to post up our black asses for the night. So bang, bang, skeet, skeet, nigga. We're just a couple of pimps, no hoes.
Hello and welcome to the third Sega Nerdcast. I'm Chris, the editor of Sega Nerds, and with me I have Graham, the associate editor, and as promised, we have Nathan, one of our staff writers on Sega Nerds. How's it going, fellas?
Hello.
Hello.
I want to tell you guys we got a great show for you today. We have a lot of Sega news and rumors that has sprouted up throughout the week. We'll talk about a classic Sega title that could be and might be making a comeback on the Nintendo Wii. We'll talk about the Sonic and the Secret Rings and Virtua Fighter sales numbers. We'll also talk a little bit about Virtua Tennis hitting the Xbox Live, the demo. We'll talk to you about what we thought about it, what we think about the game, if it sucks or not. We'll talk about that. We'll also talk a little bit about what we're playing, and we'll go into a little bit about last week's contest. But first off, before we go any further, I want to introduce you all to Nathan. So Nathan, can you just tell us a little bit about yourself?
Okay, I'm a college student at the University of Texas at Austin. I'm studying journalism. I've been a Sega fan since Sonic the Hedgehog 1 on the Sega Genesis.
Good man.
And Sega's always been my favorite game company. I really like Sonic the Hedgehog a lot, even though the game series hasn't been so good the last few entries. But I administrate the GHZ, stands for the Green Hill Zone. It's a Sonic the Hedgehog / Sonic Team fan site. Mm-hmm. We've been around for a long time, so we've got our 10th anniversary coming up in a couple months, actually.
So wow, so that's
been
crazy.
For a while.
Especially for any kind of fan site to be around that long. What kind of plans do you have for your 10th anniversary?
I don't know. Right now, the site isn't too active. Mm-hmm. It's mostly based on the content that the creator has done over all those years. I just do the coding and run the forums and stuff now.
Hmm. But you guys just recently had an art contest of sorts. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I ran an art contest on the site and gave away a copy of Sonic and the Secret Rings and some other Sonic games. I gave away over like $100 worth of stuff together, but it was pretty fun. We got a lot of good entries. Some stuff was really awesome. Some stuff was pretty
And so you actually ran two separate contests, the one for the best art and one for the worst art, right? And some of that stuff is,
right.
is I've never thought of Sonic in some of the ways that I've seen some of your users draw him. And I don't think I'll ever see him the same again, so it's kind of shocking. But you have some interesting people over there at the GHZ.com, that's for sure.
Yeah, we're a fun place. Come check us out at the GHZ.com if you want.
Okay, there you go, the GHZ.com. There we go, Nathan. He's going to be with us randomly throughout our time on the Nerdcast, so just keep checking back for Nathan on here. Next, I want to talk about a little bit about what we did this week. Graham, how was your week? And tell us what you've been up to, man.
Ooh, well, yeah, it looks like I could be demoted, maybe.
Oh, what?
Yeah, I sort of do sort of a team leader role, but part time.
Uh-huh.
So when my supervisor's not there, I take over and do stuff. But apparently,
right.
I'm still sort of judged on like how much I process. I'm meant to process money. I'm sort of still judged on that, and apparently my processing times like slip right down.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically, I'm under review. And
basically, because you haven't been working hard enough,
that's what they think. But I'm spending most of the time doing team leader stuff. So screw them.
Well, you need to spend more time processing money, obviously.
What do they pay you for?
Technically, I'm still paid for processing, but there's no one else there to do the team leader role. So really, it's sort of a bit gay.
So what does the team leader role actually entail you doing?
Well, I have to sort of set up work and stuff for people to do, and do lots of paperwork and things like that, and like send off sheets, like fax sheets off and things like that, which no one else does. And yeah,
so is there a chance that you might be leaving?
No,
Maybe maybe there's another bank like across town that might want your services.
Maybe. I think I'll have to look around, actually, because clearly my work sucks, as you guys might well know from listening to other nerdcasts.
Yeah. Would this demotion, though, also would it include a pay decrease?
Sort of. Basically, if my supervisor's away, I get paid more. But because I'm meant to be part-time, like for the team leader role, yeah, they don't pay me a full team leader's wage. So normally I just get a normal wage.
So basically, if you did get demoted, you'd just be getting the normal wage all the time.
Yeah, I wouldn't really be getting any less money, really.
Well, that wouldn't be that big a deal. It'd be less work for you.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. Look on the bright side, man.
Things yeah, I guess so.
What else have you been up to besides, you know, the whole work stuff?
Well, I don't know. not much else, really.
Yeah?
You know, work takes up most of my life right now, so... Yeah, not a lot to report that in.
That's cool. Nathan, I heard that you just returned from spring break, right? Down in like the Virgin Islands or Cancun, Jamaica, right? Something like that.
No, actually, I stayed at home and played video games because I'm boring like that.
Wow, that sounds like a pretty damn exciting spring break.
Hey, I liked it.
There you go. I guess sometimes it's fun just to take a break from everything and go back to being able to play video games all day long like you were able to when you were a kid.
Yeah, the thing is, yeah, actually, as a college student, I really don't have as much time to play video games as I'd like, so spring break was pretty nice.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. This week was, for me at least, pretty damn busy, just with work and all this other stuff going on. But yesterday, or last night, me, the wife, and a bunch of our friends, we went out to a murder mystery dinner out at this club on base, and it was pretty cool. There was a comedy group from Denver who came out. They were pretty damn funny. You know, they entertained us, and come to find out, it was the maid who did it. So the maid killed the millionaire. And we were able to find out. So
in what room with what instrument?
It was in the bathroom with the feather duster. So
how do you kill someone with a feather duster?
She broke it like in half and she stabbed him in the chest. And she was actually what happened was, okay, well, the millionaire died, okay? So there are all these people who had claims to his wealth. And come to find out, the son was going to inherit it all. And that's who was killed, the son of the heir, of the millionaire.
Oh, okay.
And so come to find out, she was the illegitimate child of the millionaire. So she was the son's half-sister, and she wanted to get all the money to herself because all the money was going to go to his last living heir. And so she killed him so she could get all the money.
That sounds like a soap opera.
Yeah, but it was really good because they had a lot of funny characters, and it was pretty funny. Got to
what character did you play?
Or do you not play I one? Didn't play a character at all.
Oh, no.
I was there as part of the audience.
Okay, I see.
Yeah, no. So, and aside from that, what's that?
You didn't get to dress up or anything.
No, I didn't. Just aside from my regular stupid wardrobe that I usually wear day to day. But then come to find out this morning, I go outside. And my wife asked me, what's leaking underneath the car? And she's like, there's all this green stuff coming out. And I'm like, what? And I thought it was like Ninja Turtle ooze at first, but turns out it was a coolant coming from underneath my car. So I'm going to have to try to get that fixed tomorrow. I tried to you know, do the manly man thing and try to fix it myself, and it didn't work out so well, so... Basically, I'm going to have to
gushing
take it.
Out.
Yeah, I know pretty much nothing when it comes to car repair or cars in general.
Well, if you're cool,
I don't even know how they really run. I know it's something that has to do with gasoline and air.
Air?
Something like that. Yeah, you know, basically like that. Carburetors and spark plugs, batteries and tires.
You're just using words that you've heard before.
Yeah, I know. Okay, let's get out of this. I don't think I think we're boring people with our rambling here. Let's get into some of the Sega news. First up, there's a new Knights rumor. The official Nintendo magazine, based in England, I've never heard of this before, had a page in their magazine that said that they're going to have a world exclusive next month. And here's a quote. It says, "Step back in time as a classic game makes a long overdue return." What actually makes this interesting, though, is that if you look at the stars on the page, basically it's like it shows an image of outer space, and there's all these purple stars. But if you kind of play connect the dots with them a little bit, you form the outline of a pretty famous old school Saturn game. And what would that be, fellas? What game?
Well, I think you already mentioned it.
Yeah. Did I? Knights. Did I? No, I don't think I said Knights. Anyway, yeah, okay. Thanks for playing along there, Damagram. Anyway, yeah, I did. Shit. Okay. No, so it's Knights, basically. And it actually, some of the people at Go Nintendo, they're the ones who, I think, first really reported it. But one of their readers actually superimposed or photoshopped an image of one of the Knights characters within the outline, and it fit like almost perfectly. So basically, that it has to be it. But the big question, though, is that next month is going to come out in April. So a lot of people are thinking this could be the big April Fool's joke. What do you guys think?
It's kind of hard to tell because with magazines they have like the dates are sort of back tracked, like, so the one that's actually just been released, it says the April edition.
Yeah, well, the April editions always come out in March, so they actually
confusing.
Yeah, a lot of them will have the April Fool's edition in March, which is just ridiculous. But so it's actually going to be what the May issue then?
Well, they always do it ahead of time. Because, I think the issue that goes on sale in March is generally the April issue anyway.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
Because, I don't know. So, I mean, how often do magazines, get exclusives like this over? I mean, nowadays, it's usually leaked on the internet first.
That's true.
I find it a little hard to believe that official Nintendo magazine of all places has some sort of exclusive to a sequel that would be as huge as Knights before anybody else.
That's a good point.
Well, unless, I don't know. I was just thinking, because they're the official Nintendo magazine, maybe Sega had set up a deal with, Nintendo.
But only in Europe, right? Because it's not Nintendo power over here in the States.
Well, I mean, we all know that America is the biggest and best country in the world. So it would have to be somewhere in America. No, I don't know. I kind of agree with you, Nathan, though, that it does seem kind of strange. So I really think this is going to end up being some kind of joke or something. And
I'd like to believe it's true, but I don't want to get my hopes up.
Yeah, and so, I mean, if it were true, though, do you think that this could be a totally new game? Or do you think it might be a virtual console title?
I've had a rumor pointing out that it could be a virtual console title.
We have those Saturn rumors on the virtual console thing. Those have resurfaced.
That's right. And so
I didn't make that connection.
Yeah, so I mean, this could very well be one of the first Saturn titles on the virtual console. And you know, to me, I wouldn't care if Sega just released Knights on the virtual console and let us use the Wii Remote to control the characters. I think that would be amazing. If they didn't make a sequel fully, if they just released the game on the virtual console, I think I'd be happy, and tons of other people would be as well.
Yeah.
I actually think that would be preferable, because the way Sega has handled a lot of sequels recently and stuff, I don't know if they could do Knights justice with a sequel. The game is so old now, and
were you drumming? what was
that? The hell was that?
No, that was just me typing.
You type like a freaking ogre, man. You got like bear hands or something. Jesus.
I'm on my laptop, so I'm leaving.
Keep going on if you remember what you were talking about.
Oh, let's see, what was I saying? Okay,
One thing also, you made me forget too. Damn it. Alright, Graham, fill in this dead space. Start talking.
Okay. So basically, yeah, there's a room about lights. Something like that.
Yeah.
Come on, Grish.
Okay.
You know what you're doing.
Okay. It was about. I don't think Sega could handle sequel. Okay, yeah, that was my point. Because the game is so old. It's like. Came out, what, 96?
Yeah.
Am I right there? So it's been over 10 years. And most of the people, I think actually. Most of the people that want a sequel to it have never actually played the original game, because it was on the Saturn, fairly unpopular console here in America at least, and Knights has kind of like attained this kind of ridiculous legendary status of the perfect game that I think any sequel that Sega made would never
definitely
I guess I could try
all the standards or expectations of all these fans and people that have never played the original.
I agree.
Game.
Yeah.
But also, and this is actually what I forgot about a while ago. Think about the poll that Sega put up earlier last week, was it? And they're asking what title would we like back, and Knights was overwhelmingly the number one choice that everyone. So it seems like there's a lot of different pieces moving in this, and it just seems like what you said before. There's the recent Saturn Virtual Console rumors popped up again. Now this, and then we had the Sega poll last week asking if what game we wanted. It seems like there's just so much stuff going on that where there's smoke, there's fire usually. But then again, it's just if it were to happen at any other point in the year, I would be a lot I'd be led to believe it a lot more than what it is right now, just because of the fact that it's going to be releasing sometime in April. So the thing is,
I did think about though
is that if anyone doubted the craziness and the rabid fan base that Sega still has, just dangle the carrot that is Knights in front of them, and then tell them that it was all a joke, and see what happens. I guarantee you, there's going to be tons and tons of just lashback at Nintendo Magazine if this is just all a joke. They think they have some rabid fans. Sega has its own loyal and crazy fans as well, even still. Me and Graham already said that we're gonna, start writing mean emails to them, throwing bricks at their buildings, stuff like that. So that's what we have planned. So hopefully, it's gonna come through. It would do us all a awesome favor if Sega were to release Knights. Either it'd be a sequel or on the Virtual Console, whatever one, but hopefully it's not just a cruel joke that is going to make all of us cry in our beds at night. So, next up, though, we have Sonic and the Secret Rings and Virtua Fighter. They were released February 20th, and the new NPD sales numbers came in, and Sonic sold 63,000 copies, and Virtua Fighter sold 53,000 copies. Now, when you first look at those numbers compared to the rest of the numbers in the NPD sales numbers, they're not going to look that good. They didn't make the top 10. But the thing you got to keep in mind, though, is that it was released, both games were released February 20th, and that means that it was only available to get these sales numbers for only 8 days. And I think when you put that in perspective, that, it doesn't really seem that bad. I think the sales numbers are pretty strong, in my opinion. What do you guys think about that?
Yeah, I'd have to agree. Considering he only had 8 days, it did seem to fly off the shelves.
Well, I mean, it's no Halo or Grand Theft Auto. None of those games are like that anymore. But I still think that those are pretty impressive.
And you also have to consider the PlayStation 2 is PlayStation 3. Sorry, hasn't got that many people owning it. So
have they even sold 53,000 consoles in the United States yet?
I'm just kidding.
No, I mean that's a good point though, Graham, because they don't have that big of user install base yet, and I think to sell that many copies, that's 53,000 for Virtua Fighter. That's not too bad. And for Sonic, though, I don't know if that's just the 360 version or the PS3 version or both put together.
No, that's wasn't that just.
For I'm sorry. No. Yeah, my bad. I'm thinking Sonic the Hedgehog. You know, Sonic. It was on the Wii. My bad. but the one thing I want to, ask you guys: what do you think are the chances of these, either one of these games, maybe breaking in the top 10 next week or next month?
Next month.
I reckon Virtua Fighter 5 will only break into top 10 when the 360 version is released. Personally,
you think so?
Because there's a bigger 360 user base fan, and by that time, more people would have bought PS3s, and more Virtua Fighter 5 would still be selling on that console. So I reckon more people would buy it then.
Gonna have to probably agree with that. Although it depends on when the 360 version comes out.
Yeah. What about Sonic and the Secret Rings? Because I mean, I don't think there's really any big Nintendo Wii titles coming out, next month or between now and then. So do you think that it has a pretty good chance of maybe squeaking in there at some point?
Yeah, I'd say that Sonic has a really good shot at it, because considering how well the Sonic games have all sold on the GameCube, I think Sonic Riders was the number one best-selling GameCube title from 2006, I think. I want to say.
Shit, really?
Sure.
Oh my god!
Yeah, it was something. I remember seeing it on a sales chart on IGN, and that just blew my mind.
Wow, I had no idea.
That shows how poor some of the GameCube games were then. Comparison.
So, GameCube or Nintendo owners love Sonic still, so I say Sonic has a chance on the Wii.
Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. And actually, yesterday, I believe it was, Virtua Tennis 3 was released on Xbox Live, the demo. Have you guys had a chance to play that? And, if you have, what do you think about it?
Yeah, I got to play it for a good bit. I found the characters seem to move slower or something.
You think they're slower?
Like when I don't know about their running, but like when they go to hit the ball and like do sort of moves, they just seem to take more time to do it.
Okay, so you mean actually like in hitting the ball, like the actual?
Yeah,
action.
It sort of made the game feel
like
a bit stiffer.
Hmm.
Yeah.
More sluggish.
From like Virtual Tennis, you sort of feel like in Virtual Tennis 1 you're like running around really fast, it's really fast play, but this is more sort of realistic, and they sort of
it does feel a little bit more of like a more a simulation style rather than just a like an arcadey type game that the first two had, but I think the biggest thing that stuck in my mind and that I noticed when I first started was how ridiculously hard it was. What did you guys think about that? Did you have some of the same problems I did? I mean, it was ridiculous.
Yeah,
the demo
I found
was
it quite hard.
Definitely really, really hard. I didn't actually beat the computer. I kicked my ass repeatedly.
It took me a good hour and a half before I actually won my first game. And so it.
Yeah. It might just have been set up as, an AI match from, one of the more advanced tournaments or something.
It could be.
Yeah, that's what I was
thinking. Imagine the real game cannot be that.
But, would that be necessarily a bad thing, though, if it was that hard? Because what I found that I didn't think it seemed like the computer was really cheating or anything. It just seemed like it was really good. And so when he beat me, go ahead.
One of the main appeals in Virtua Tennis was just the ability to just pick up and play and start having fun. So I don't think starting the game out that kind of difficulty is going to be very fun for most people.
Yeah, I'm hoping it's just like they've got different difficulty settings and they've just set it for a harder difficulty for the demo.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, or like in Tennis 2K2, I think, you can make your own Virtua Tennis player, I guess. And
you can do that.
In different minigames and stuff, which we have seen in videos. So.
And what I did actually, because I've been playing it quite a bit over the weekend, and I decided to just play both games, Virtua Tennis 3 and Tennis 2K2. I'd play one round or two of each game and just kind of go back and just to see what the differences were. And of course, I mean the graphics, between the two games were just ridiculous. I was just really amazed by just how much of a difference it was in that regard. But also, like I said before, though, the games themselves, just the style of the games are different. Like Tennis 2K2 is more of an arcadey type game, and Virtua Tennis 3 is more of a simulation. It seems to take itself a little bit more serious. And
What made you think that? I didn't
really. Well, I think it's just because I think the players moved more realistically, just as far as how fast they ran, and how fast the ball shot. Because what I noticed in Tennis 2K2 was it was a lot easier to catch the tennis ball once it's hit like far away from you. It seemed like all you'd have to do is press A and hold it down, and your player would just kind of do its own thing and hit the ball itself. But in Virtua Tennis 3, it seemed like you actually had to do more work on your own to get over there to it and do that.
Yeah.
And actually, also in the original one on the Dreamcast, basically all you had to do was just hit the A button over and over again. And, you know, you just hit the top spin button, and you kind of could, you know, win your way through matches that way. But I noticed in Virtua Tennis 3 that you actually had to, you know, vary up the hits and actually try to trick the computer. So, you know, that's where I got that idea from.
Yeah.
So. Do you agree with that, though, Graham?
I agree with it, yeah, but personally, I don't know if that's going to make the game more fun, like more appealing, or less appealing. Because, Nathan said that the beauty of Virtua Tennis, like the first two, is that it's so easy to pick up and play that like almost anyone could like basically pick it up and play it.
Right.
But this could be for more sort of more serious gamers, really. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure if that would make it the sales affect the sales at all or anything, or like maybe the review scores.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it is going to be fun, though, just to be able to, when the full game comes out, I think it's going to be fun to be able to play online, finally, on a Virtua Tennis game, and just be able to talk smack to your friends and whatnot. So I think it'll be fun. What are your guys' your final impressions on the game? Do you think that this is going to be a good game, a decent game, or do you think it's going to fail and it's not going to live up to what the previous titles did for us?
I think it's going to be a good game. There's nothing here that will suggest it's going to be a poor game or anything.
Right.
So it just depends on all the extra modes, I guess. Because one of the things that's great about Virtua Tennis is like all the mini games and all the different stuff you can do. So if they've kept that up like properly, then I think it could like sell pretty well.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think it's going to be a good game. The Virtua Tennis formula is something that's proven itself to be extremely successful before, and I don't think they're going to screw that up.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as we've got four-player doubles matches, I'm happy.
There you go. That's freaking awesome. Okay, so there you go. I think we got pretty much a thumbs up from the entire Sega Nerds crew here. So if you haven't yet, download the Virtua Tennis 3 demo, Xbox Live. It's only like 849 megabytes or something like that. So it kind of goes pretty quickly. Yeah, I know. But if you have a decent connection, you'll be able to get it pretty quick, and you can, you know, live out your frustrations by getting your ass kicked by Venus Williams too. So, and Graham, I wanted to ask you. Last week, you promised us that you would get in contact with Sega Racing Studio about the rumor about them developing Storm Chasers. So, how did that go?
Well, you did tell me to phone them. However. I didn't phone them.
Oh, Jesus.
But I did actually email them.
Okay.
And, they haven't
quite. Oh, my God.
So, sorry about that.
At least you gave somewhat of an effort.
Yeah, but I did also email Sega of Europe as well.
Okay.
Did
they get back to you?
They did get back to me.
What did they say?
I got a good response from them. Basically, I was talking about Sega Nerds to them and stuff, and it could be possibly in the pipeline that we could probably get some review copies of games from Europe.
Oh, that's cool.
So that we could get some games early. So, but he said he'll see what he can do. He sounded positive, basically. So that's some good news there.
Okay. Well, okay. At least you did something then. And I'll go ahead and say it too. I've actually been in contact with Sega of America, the public relations division there. I've been working with them over the past few weeks or months just to try to secure the Sega Nerds team with some review copies as well, because our goal is to try to review each game as soon as it hits, each Sega title. We want to review each one, and, you know, of course, you know, especially in March, there's going to be quite a few games coming out, and so it can get quite expensive for us if we're going to go out and buy each game just to review it. So what, you know, what we're hoping for is Sega can start sending some of those games our way. And actually, I talked with one of the public relations people over there, and he said he's going to be sending me Shining Force Exa, and I think they're also going to send Full Auto 2 Battle Lines on the PSP. So hopefully we'll get those pretty soon, and we can pump those reviews out. So we'll see about that, though.
Great stuff.
Yeah, much success. Yeah. Now I want to talk a little bit about what games we've been playing this week. And just from judging what we've been talking to Grant for a little bit, it didn't seem like he's playing a lot many different games.
There's one thing we just missed out.
What is that?
The blog rehash.
Oh, okay. Well, I thought we kind of talked a little bit about it in the thing. Okay. Is there anything you want to talk about that, though?
Well, I also wanted to comment on how annoying
it is. Okay, first explain what it is. Explain what it is to our listeners.
Okay. Basically, yeah.
I'll let you do this now. I'm tired of talking. You do some talking now.
Last year, at the end of last year, sort of it was December time, the rumour came out that there could be possibly Knights coming for the Wii. The Saturn. There could be Saturn games coming on
virtual
console. On the Wii for the virtual console. And that was posted back in December last year. However, in the last week, one site posted up about it, and they linked to the original article from back in December, but they made it sound like new news.
You can go ahead and say what site it was. It's okay.
I actually can't remember what it is.
Well,
now.
Joystick was one of the main ones.
Yeah, the one that looked
a lot of all the I think pretty much all the big blogs did. I think I don't know if Kotaku. Yeah. Did, I mean, no, I don't know if Destructoid did. I know Kotaku and Joystick did.
Sorry, I just found out. Yeah, there's a site called CrunchGear.com, and they seem to be the ones that seem to start the rumor. I'm not sure if they did, but they're the ones I found that originally linked to the original article. But from there, all the other major blogs and like smaller blogs have all started picking it up, and they're reporting it like it's brand new information. However, we ourselves reported it back in December.
Yeah, that was a pretty long time ago.
And so, like Joystick, who I'm pointing the finger at mainly here, they started they released it as like it was new information. And the thing that annoys me is how these websites they actually get paid for their articles. They're just rehashing old information and making it sound new. So it's not very good for gamers.
Right, and that's something that I've noticed Joystick's done in the past. Not something that old. I mean, I think we posted December 12th, and so that makes it what 3 months old? You know, more than 3 months old. Yeah. So that's kind of silly. But hey, if Joystick's going to start doing that, and other sites are going to start posting up old news as new news, I don't see why we can't start doing the same thing. And maybe we can start posting up stuff like Sega's building a new console named like the Katana or the Black Belt.
Yeah, that sounds pretty good.
And so who knows? So I mean, if this is going to be a trend in in the blog community, maybe we should get in on it too. Maybe we can score some more traffic that way. We'll see.
Yeah, I just wanted to point out how annoying it was.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I thought it was silly. And I actually did, on Joystick, I posted our link in their comment section just to see what kind of a reaction I'd get. And I haven't checked it today, but when the last time I did check it yesterday, no one seemed like they noticed. But it was just kind of silly, though. It's such old news.
If you go to all these forums as well, they've got it up on all the forums and stuff, like DCMU forums. They've started posting up about it, going, "Oh my god!" Like this new information about the Saturn coming to the virtual console. But
do you remember making this big of news though the first time? Like around though?
No, that's the weird thing.
I don't remember it either. I don't think people were talking about it that much.
No, it's. People are like, oh yeah, that sounds interesting.
Yeah, and now it's like, oh my gosh, look what we found 3 months ago. This is news back then. But, hey guys, I just heard something though. I heard that Anna Nicole Smith died.
Oh god, do we have to talk about that?
Yeah, we filled our quota. We have to mention her name one time. That's corporate sponsorship right there. We have to mention her name one time, and okay, we did it. So there we go. Moving on now, let's talk about what we've been playing this week. Graham,
yay.
If you're not going to interrupt me again, we'll get into this section.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, a thumbs up for this section.
Yeah, I know this is one of your favorite parts of the Nerdcast, so tell us what you've been playing, buddy.
Yeah. Oh.
What haven't you been playing? Let's just say that.
Well, okay, what I have been playing is Oblivion.
Of course. Don't even go into talk. Okay, wait. What have you been actually doing this week in the world of Elder Scrolls?
In the world of Oblivion? I've actually been doing most of the Fighters Guild stuff, mainly.
Yeah.
So, nothing that interesting. But every time I play the game, something different happens. It's like a completely new experience. That's why I love it so much. I mean, the way I've been playing it this time is just completely different to how I played it.
Wait, you just start over?
So it's yeah, like start a new character and like build. Every time you play, build up the different statistics differently and stuff. So normally I go for like an archer kind of guy, and this time I've like got a guy who can wield a huge axe and stuff. And it's the gameplay experience is completely different.
Really?
Because I can just run. I can literally run through dungeons now, just knock down the bad guys. Where before I had to take my time and snipe at people and stuff. And yeah, I just keep finding new things. I keep finding like new weapons and stuff, which was never there before.
Now let me ask you something, because you've probably put in, how many hours do you think you put into Oblivion so far?
Oh,
I bet it rivals the amount of time Nathan's almost put into Phantasy Star Universe.
I think I've had over 1,000 hours.
Okay, wow, that's way more than me. Oh Jesus. And I would believe you too, because every time I'm talking to you or see you online, it's always playing Oblivion. Now let me ask you something. Yeah, though, what would you, you've played it quite a bit, so you're probably a pretty good person to speak to on this, what would you change, or what do you think Bethesda could improve upon on Oblivion?
Oh god, I personally think there's one thing that I've, like, I'm going to compare it to Morrowind.
Okay.
Now, because I played Morrowind quite a lot,
right,
as well, and the one thing I loved about Morrowind was the fact that the universe was completely unique. It's like completely fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
So when you went into towns, you had these weird like plants and stuff. But Oblivion's more like a more realistic kind of affair.
Yeah.
And I think I prefer the Morrowind style landscape.
Okay.
Like the trees and stuff, they're all really weird. And, like, you go into one town, and they've got like these sort of mushroom type things, which some of the houses are built on and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And like there's a big sort of building that's built into a tree and things like that. You have to run up the branches,
right?
And you don't really get anything like that in Oblivion. Mm. And that's one thing I'd like to see return.
Okay.
That's what's
now. Let me ask you one thing. Do you think that there's room in Oblivion for like an online co-op style feature? Do you think it could work?
Oh yes, I reckon that could be.
You think so?
Personally, if they could pull that,
yeah,
off.
I don't see.
Even
I mean,
if it's just two player co-op, I think that would be.
Yeah,
good.
I mean, just two player at a minimum, maybe just have two players in there, you and a buddy. I would think that'd be freaking awesome, storming dungeons and
I think that would be amazing,
raping
yeah.
horses and killing women. that would be awesome.
Yeah.
So that's one thing that I can just off the top of my head, I think would make a really good.
Yeah, that would be one of the great things though, to make the game better.
I guess we don't have to ask you if you're going to get that expansion pack or not.
Nah, that's definitely in the pipeline. I'm definitely getting that.
What else?
Yeah, I'm going to move on now to the other games. Yesterday, in fact, I picked up two new games. Well, they're not actually new games.
But
they're
new to me
because I haven't played them before. Yeah. Phoenix Wright for the Nintendo
DS.
That's
a pretty good game.
The first or the second one?
It's this is the first one.
You gotta start at the beginning, I can understand that.
Yeah. Because the second one's actually only just been released over here in Europe. And I saw it and I thought, maybe I'll get it. And I thought, no, I'll get the first one. Because like you say, it's better to play the first few games. And I have to say, I'm so impressed by it.
Really?
Because I wasn't sure what to think of it, and it's so much fun. For a text-based game, I think it's one of the most exciting sort of text-based games I've played.
Yeah, it is a good game. I liked it. I got tired of it after maybe the third or fourth mission or whatever.
Damn it.
Court case, whatever you want to call it. But, no, it was fun while I played it. I liked it.
Yeah, I'm sort of most of the way through the second case right now, so I've still got a bit of play in it, I think.
Okay.
And also, the next game is one I haven't told you about.
Okay, yeah, I've seen this on the outline. It says surprise, and so is that like some new like is that like an old GameCube game or something?
Actually, it is, and I think you might like it because you've spoken about how it's one of your favorite GameCube games.
Okay, well, now you have me interested.
Can you take a guess at what it might
be?
No. It's a game you've wanted me to play for a long time.
Oh, jeez. I have no idea. I can't remember. I haven't played GameCube in forever.
Okay. You actually mentioned this game last week with the Captain S's crew.
Jesus, dude. Just tell me.
Okay. It's Resident Evil.
Oh, okay. Okay, there you go. Awesome.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I wasn't thinking of it as being... I was thinking more of it being an exclusive to the GameCube. And so I was trying to...
It was for a bit.
What do you think? Yeah. Is it not one of the greatest games?
I played it... I finished the first chapter of it. And, yeah, I'm quite impressed by it. The one thing that you guys are probably going to hit me about is that I was actually unimpressed by the graphics.
Well, I can understand that now that you've been playing like games like Oblivion and things like that.
Really?
But I think if...
Well, yeah.
If you played it back when it first released, I think you would have been extremely impressed with it because...
Well, that's the thing. I'm still impressed by like loads of other GameCube games and Dreamcast games.
Well, now you're just being a
compare
bitch.
Compare them to this.
Yeah, how can you say that? I think Resident Evil 4 is one of the best-looking GameCube games. What other GameCube games impress you
graphically? I know.
Billy Hatcher?
For this, but I think Star Fox Adventures has got better graphics than this.
What?
I've never played that. The graphics of Star
goodness.
Fox Adventures, actually, the game sucks.
Right.
But the graphics are very smooth, very impressive.
Well, okay, wait. What could you possibly say bad about the graphics in Resident Evil?
Okay.
Well, okay. Tell me.
I'm not saying the graphics
okay,
are bad.
Right.
I'm just saying they're not anywhere near as good as I've seen in screenshots or anything
okay.
like that. For one thing, I think Leon looks amazing. I think as character-wise, he looks brilliant.
You shouldn't admit that.
All the other characters look really, really bland. They just look like grubby. They don't lash, but the detail of them is not that great. And also, when I was running like through the town and stuff, like a little village at the beginning, I don't know. The buildings just looks sort of
like
more
muddy.
At,
like
the
textures weren't very.
Yeah, this wasn't that. The textures weren't that as high as I was thinking they were going to be.
Well, I don't know. I think. I don't know. I when I first played it, I was amazed. But then again, I played it actually. When you know, right when it was released too, and so
I don't know. I think the graphics hold up really well today.
I do too. Still. But I mean, that's the only thing I could think that why you wouldn't think the graphics were that amazing is because you've been actually playing you know Xbox 360 for a year and a half or however long it's been.
Yeah, but like I say, I've got loads of other games on the old systems which still amaze me, and this. I'm not saying
right.
they're bad. They're good.
Okay.
They're just
definitely not as
good
as you thought they were
going to
be.
Okay. Yeah, like even like screenshots I see today, they look more better. Like they look more impressive.
Okay, that's fair. The gameplay is what sold me on the game, though. The graphics were great.
Oh yeah.
What do you have to say about the rest of the game?
Yeah, the actual game is a lot of fun.
Aren't those old people so much more scary than the zombies though?
I was actually going to say this game hasn't scared
what?
Me yet. Whereas the other Resident Evil scared the crap out of me in the first 5 minutes. This game hasn't scared me.
Wait, what's that one game that we were talking about that you got scared of and you wouldn't play it? Condemned.
Enemy Zero on the Saturn.
No, it was something else. It was something ridiculous. It was something like Legend of Zelda or something that you wouldn't play. I can't remember what it is now. But it's something that is just ridiculous and he got scared of it. I can't remember what it was, though. You know what I'm talking about, don't you?
I can't think of the game I've refused to play apart from Condemned and Enemy Zero.
No, I'm going to have to think about it.
I don't know.
It'll come to me.
To be honest, though, Resident Evil 4 didn't scare me at all whatsoever throughout the entirety
of
the game.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it really didn't scare me. It was the game was much more action-oriented.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I don't know, I guess it gives you a better sense of control. Like
I don't.
Yeah.
Because like the other Resident Evil games, you're mostly like running away from stuff and having to conserve ammo all the time. This game, you could like basically run in and just shoot.
Yeah, it was very generous with the amount of ammo. But the thing I think it wasn't more of when I'm saying that I was scared by it. I don't think the fear or whatever was more of just general like creepiness like the other games were. It was more of like anxiety. From all the people coming at you or running at you or the you know, the crazy ladies with the chainsaws, or, you know, the dude, you know, run at you with a chainsaw. It just was really stressful, and, you know, I was just so anxious when I played it. My, you know, my heart was beating the entire time just because I was getting chased by a mob of crazy Spaniards or whatever they were, and they all wanted to kill me.
Where the hell is this actually meant to be?
Do what?
Do we actually know what country?
Yeah, it's in Europe someplace, but they're speaking some form of Spanish. Yeah.
They speak Spanish.
Remind me not to go there. No, I can see how you could say that. I mean, when you've got like 20 or so people running at you, it can be
throwing
a bit
freaking axes and,
but,
you know.
Yeah, that's one thing I really like, the fact that you can like shoot the axes out of
that
the air.
That's awesome.
Like when they throw them at you, you can actually shoot them out of the air, which I was quite impressed by. Yeah, the gameplay is actually really good, I think. Just overall, I found it a lot. It's a lot of fun, but it's very different to the other Resident Evil, so
I think it's a good thing. I hate
it. Yeah,
the
it was. They did such a good job.
I think that's what
they
made them so unique, the fact that the old ones were like that.
I hated that tank control.
Okay, and I'm actually going to say that I actually held up to my end of the bargain that I made last week. I said that if you were going to call Sega Racing Studios, then I would finally sit down and play Headhunter on the Dreamcast, because you bought it for me and you shipped it to me, which is extremely nice of you. And so I finally sat down with it and I played it, and I gotta say, I really do like it. It's a really fun game. The graphics are really well done, and I gotta say, the videos, the FMV scenes, the cutscenes were amazing. You know, they were just I think you can easily compare them to some of the, you know, of the later, you know, generations games on the PS2, and they hold up well. The resolution wasn't, you know, up there with some of them, but just the artwork, then the detail was there, and I thought that they did a good job with that.
Yeah.
You know, but having said that, though, there was a lot of stuff in the game that I could just play, and just it felt very outdated. Like when you're running down the halls and you're shooting people, there's actually no button that will allow you to reload your gun. You have infinite bullets, but what sucks is that you can't reload your gun, so you have one of two choices. You can, you know, just kind of, you know, work within the confines of the rules and of the game, where, you know, you have a, you know, 15 bullets or whatever per clip. And so you might, you know, spend 13 of those on, you know, a couple of enemies, and you only have two left for the next guy, and you have to wait. You have to shoot them with those bullets, and you have to reload. Or you can just, you know, just continue to shoot and waste the clip, and then just reload automatically after that.
I can't actually. Head, I remember there being a reload button.
I hear you typing again.
Yeah, stop.
Damn it. Yeah. You know what were you saying, Graham?
Yeah, for some reason I can remember in my head, I remember there being a reload button. So, but
there's
maybe
not.
There wasn't, because I did look through the manual again when you told me that. I don't know. It didn't seem to bother me that much then, because it never came into my head that there's no reload button. So,
No. You can reload your gun.
What? It doesn't say that in the instruction book. I'm gonna have to go back and play it now.
I
don't know. And, well, another thing I wanted to say, though, too, is that playing the game, the like you said, Graham, your favorite parts are riding on the motorcycle throughout the city.
Oh, yeah.
But what I wanted to do more than anything is I wanted to get off the damn motorcycle and, you know, walk around and explore a little bit. And you just can't do that. They've created this awesome world before Grand Theft Auto, you know, 3 came out, and before all these other sandbox style games came out, and Headhunter did this. But the thing is, they just restricted you to the motorcycle.
Yeah, it's not a sandbox game. Yeah, the motorcycle segments were just there to get you from point A to point B. Yeah, Headhunter was a really good game, but it's basically kind of like Metal Gear Solid Lite with a greater emphasis on action. It's a pretty linear game.
Yeah,
like it doesn't give
and
you
that's
too
the thing.
Much freedom.
I see so much promise of what they could have done with the game, and I'm not saying they did they did anything bad, but I think there was room there to expand the game into something much greater than what it ended up being.
Well, you know what part of the problem was? like originally when they were originally designing it, they actually had planned online races.
Yeah, I remember so, like, you telling me that.
You could actually go online and race against people, and they were sort of planning actually getting off the bike and stuff, and like walking around, like just doing little things, not like Grand Theft Auto, like running around killing anyone. Just like you could do little things getting off the bike. However, it was quite late on in the Dreamcast life, as far as I remember, and they started planning making the PS2 version as well. So they basically rushed the game. Even though the game is like the game feels great, it feels quite finished. There's like certain bits, aspects of it you can tell they sort of cut out and rushed a bit, which is part of the problem. So I reckon if the Dreamcast hadn't like crapped out, or if they made it for the Xbox like originally or something like that, then we could have seen a bit more of improvements. But
well, there was a sequel for the Xbox and the PlayStation 2.
That was a bit. That's
how
actually quite.
How was the sequel? I never got to play the sequel. Was that any good? Do you guys play that?
Yeah, I've played most. It's a good, fun game, but it's actually quite different. I think there's less.
Yeah, it's
there's less emphasis on the stealth. Different. I find like, you can still do sort of stealthy attacks, but I found that I could literally just run into a room with a machine gun and just blast everyone. It's a lot easier.
Yeah, that's pretty true.
So okay, so
My favorite part of that game though is the soundtrack composed by Richard Jacques when he was still at Sega Europe.
I have no idea who that is. What kind of work has he done? Maybe what have we seen him on before?
He composed the Saturn soundtracks for Sonic 3D Blast and Sonic R. He worked at Sega Europe for a while. He's done some tracks for Jet Set Radio.
Oh, that was a good
Metropolis
one.
Street Racer, Daytona USA, and Outrun 2. He's a really he's pretty cool.
That's what actually what me and Graham were talking about the other day is Sonic 3D Blast. I think it kind of gets a bad rap. But I think it's a pretty fun game. I think it's pretty damn good.
Yeah.
I liked it.
Yeah, it's decent fun. Actually, my favorite part of the game is the special stages, and the Saturn version at least, because I think those special stages are the best in any Sonic
definitely
game ever.
Good stuff.
They're just ridiculous.
I think the overall game's fun. It's just such a difference. You know, it's so different from any other Sonic game that we've seen, that, you know, that isometric view like that.
Yeah.
And I think it worked pretty well. The only thing you couldn't get the full speed going and just bursting through levels. You never got that in it. It was almost more of an adventure game almost, rather than just the traditional
I can see that.
Sonic game when you're just blasting through levels. So you're almost like you have to go find different animals and you have to collect them all. Then you have to go into the ring and put them all in there, and then you go to the next level. So it's kind of you're exploring throughout the level, but it was actually pretty fun. I liked it. Next up though, we have Nathan. What have you been playing this week, man? I hear that a new PS2 game that you've been playing.
Yeah, God of War 2. It's
I'm sorry.
It's pretty awesome. It's simultaneously one of the best PlayStation 2 games I've ever played, and also one of the most frustrating games I've ever played, period.
Oh, really? How so?
It's just really, really challenging at points, let's put it that way.
Is it actually hard, or do you find it as being cheap, or do you think it's legitimately just a
no,
hard
no,
game?
No, the game is never cheap. Like, the game is really, really well designed. It's possibly one of the best designed games in the last year or so. It just amazes me in every aspect.
Really?
Like, it's the best looking PlayStation 2 game, I think. It just looks absolutely beautiful. The music is really good, the gameplay is awesome, and for all of its excessive violence and nudity, and it's just,
you gotta love that.
It's decadent, but it fits, it works, and it's just a ton of fun. And every time I die is because I sucked or I did something stupid.
Right. Well, that's good though.
Can I ask, what's the story?
Did what's you ever play the first God of War?
I actually don't know, because I don't.
I did. I've actually played about halfway through the first game, but go ahead and kind of explain to
me. So the story is Kratos. He's this Spartan warrior. He's like the greatest warrior that ever lived or something, and he's in a battle with the barbarians, and he's about to lose, and so he sells his soul to Ares, the god of war. It's a bunch of Greek mythology. The entire series revolves around it. So he sells his soul to the god of war, And he gets granted all these powers, and he goes and kills all this stuff. And I don't remember all the details of the first game, but basically he goes and kills Ares, the God of War, and becomes the new God of War. And that's when the first game ends. Ooh. And so the second game starts with you're the God of War. Yeah, and then you get betrayed by Zeus, the king of the gods. And so you spend, the whole point of this game is to find the Sisters of Fate so that you can, I don't know exactly, change time or something, go back to the point where Zeus betrays you and kill him or something.
Jeez.
So you want to kill the king of the gods.
That sounds pretty good.
Yeah, and it's really badass the entire way through. Kratos is just the ultimate badass. And
he doesn't have his like little chain
extremely pissed
like,
off
swords anymore either.
No, he still does. He gets them.
Oh,
yeah,
he does?
He gets them back. Like, it's kind of like a Metroid game, I guess, in that, you know, you start out a Metroid game with all your stuff, and then
right.
some plot contrivance happens and it strips you of all your powers, so you start you start over again, like bare bones.
That's the most frustrating part in any game, to play like the first level and you have all these awesome powers and you're like, oh, wait a second. No, you don't, buddy.
Yeah.
You have to start all the way back at the beginning.
Basically, that's how it works. But you get all these cool new abilities at a really steady pace, and the stage design is just really, really well done, and it's paced pretty well, so it's a lot of fun. I highly recommend it. God of War 2 is awesome.
Awesome. I'm actually going to be picking up a PS2 again. I'm still debating on whether I want to go ahead and just pick up a PS3 or just for the time being until some games come out on the PS3 that I really want, just picking up a PS2 again. That way I can play God of War and Shining Force Exo when it comes in too. So whatever it's going to be in about a week, I'm going to make that choice. So I'll either have a new PS3 or an old school PS2. So we'll see.
Can I just make a comment?
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think you should get a PlayStation 3.
You think so?
Yeah.
Simply because apparently, you know, in Europe, the PlayStation 3 is having less backwards compatibility.
Yeah.
Apparently, in America, next year or something, early next year, when they start chucking out PlayStation 3s, they're going to start doing that as well for the US and
really?
Japan.
Really?
Yeah. So, I was going to make that exact same
it
point.
It could be that you...
So they're actually going to downgrade the PS3.
It hasn't been confirmed, but they probably will in the favor of saving costs.
Yeah, I've heard reports that that's what they're looking at right now, simply because Sony are losing so much money with the PlayStation 3. But it's annoying because they're actually going to keep the price exactly the same for us.
See, that's what I was going to say. Well, then I can understand that as a consumer. If they're going to cut the price, then that I might be able to make that sacrifice. But if they're going to just be pocketing the extra cash that they get, that's not good.
Well, you say pocket, but they're not actually making any.
Yeah, they'll just be losing less.
Right. Okay, giving out less money. They're losing less, however we say that. I can understand them wanting to do that, but I think that whole business model to begin with is something they should have, you know, figured out a long time ago.
Yeah.
Now they're trying to cut all these costs.
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody, all the current platforms overestimated how important backwards compatibility was to everyone, which is to say not that important.
You think so?
Although for I think a lot of people would be trading in their PlayStation 2s to get a PlayStation 3 to cut the cost down a little bit.
Yeah, that's true.
If they're not going to be able to play their old PlayStation 2 games, then it's going to be a bit annoying.
Yeah. If you look at it though, like the 360, they've like pretty much altogether stopped working on the backwards compatibility updates, which sucks a lot, but
yeah.
What are you going to do about it?
Yeah. Okay.
And Sony's going to go the
I've
same
still got
route.
My old Xbox, though. So.
Their backwards compatibility on the PlayStation 3 without that chip is all going to be software based, just like the 360.
Yeah.
So that means we'd have to wait on updates and whatever, just like that. But
the thing is, I heard that apparently they were not going to be able to do the update thing like the Xbox, because the main fact is that the chipset they're using is completely inferior or something. Because
is it? I'm sure the PlayStation 3 has enough raw power to emulate it.
No, there's what's it called? The emotion engine on the PlayStation 2 is completely unique or something. This is what I heard. Apparently it's like unique, and which is what makes the PlayStation 2 so good.
Because there's emotion.
Right.
that's why the games aren't going to be compatible anymore. Because they're taking out the emotion engine chipset, and they're putting in a completely different chipset, and it's going to be... completely inferior to the emotion engine, which is why only like 50% of the games can actually
work
on it.
Well, that's why the Xbox 360 has to do everything software side. They can't just, you know, because their their processors and their GPUs different. Or this is from what I've read. That's why they're having to do it.
Just software emulation versus.
Yeah, I'm sure that I'm sure that there's a way they can emulate the games.
So. Okay, the question is if they will.
Exactly, if they want to actually spend
the time. That's true.
But the thing is, though, you have to look at, though, look what Sony's done with the PSP. They've supported it and come out with so many great updates for the PSP that I don't think anyone. If they would have, you know, guessed before it came out, I don't think anyone would have guessed the amount of support that Sony was going to have for the PSP. I mean, just think about what the PSP offered at the very beginning when it first released, and look at what it can do now. You know, just from, you know, you're browsing the web, you know, you can, you know, do all sorts of different and cool things with the PSP now that you couldn't do at the beginning.
You can play PlayStation games.
Yeah, you can play PlayStation games. I don't know. So we'll see. Hopefully, Sony won't screw us over with that. And I don't know. So it looks like maybe I might have to end up getting a PS3 then. So we'll see. Yeah. All right. Well, let's get out from that a little bit. And Graham, tell us about the contest. I know that we've had a little bit of change in plans. Can you just kind of explain to everyone what those are?
Okay. Yeah. Basically, we're going to keep the contest running for at least one more week. We've had quite a few entries, but I think we can have more, personally. I think for what we've had some good entries and we've had some actually quite bad entries. I think one guy got like 14 out of the score. 14 marks.
Okay.
I think the score's out of 59. There is also another change to the contest slightly. One of the questions is wrong.
Oh, that's right.
There's a bit of a mix-up between me and Chris when I gave him the questions. He forgot to put up one of
it's
the
not my
options,
fault,
one
Dan,
of the answers.
It's your fault. Don't blame me.
Okay, just blame it on me. Okay, that's the easy way out of here. But yeah, basically, so we're not going to add in an extra option. We're not going to change the question. We're just going to cut out that answer. Yeah. So, because no one's going to be able to answer correctly, that's going to be.
What would you do
anyway.
Though if someone did answer it correctly?
I'd be very impressed.
Okay, if they didn't hear last week, tell them what they can win and tell them what they have to do for the contest.
Okay. Yeah. What you can win is 11 Sega PC titles. Do you want me to run through them all again? Okay. We have quite a few old ones and some new PC titles here. We've got Sonic 3D, which we were speaking about earlier. Sonic Heroes, Sonic Adventure DX, Virtual Fighter 2, Panzer Dragoon, Worms, Worms Forts, Crazy Taxi, Immortal Cities, Children of the Nile, Rome Total War, and Condemned.
I love that list. Yeah, that's some really great games. I applaud you for putting that together. I think that's a lot better than just the single game, Sonic and the Secret Rings that we gave away last week. Condemned is by far the best game on that list for me. Great game.
Yeah, I'd like to say that. I haven't played Immortal Cities or Rome Total War, but I hear they're mentioned really good.
Yeah, so tell them what they have to do then.
Okay, what you have to do is we posted up a link to a quiz in the last week's Nerdcast.
It'll be in the post this week as well, in the show notes.
Okay, great. That's good. So they know what to do. Yeah, so basically you click on it, you'll download a little Word document, and you just answer the questions, then either email me or Chris. Or PM us in the
my email address. It's chris@seganerds.com and graham@seganerds.com. So you can email it to both of us, either one of us, just, you know, whichever one you like better.
Yeah. Or you can PM
on the forums. So do that.
Yeah, and just PM us for your answer. You don't have to like have the whole question laid out. Just literally put like 1, 2, 3, 4, and then like next to it, just put like the answer, like Sonic or whatever the answer might be. So. Yeah, and then we'll mark it, and then next week's Nerdcast, we should have a winner announced.
Okay, awesome. All right, it's about time to put this baby to bed. But real quick, I just want to go over a little bit of some site news, I guess you could say. We're doing a little bit of things on the site. One actually change and addition that we're going to make to the Nerdcast is every week from here on out, every Monday around that time, we're going to be putting up a new poll in the Sega Nerd sidebar on our main site. And what we'll do is we'll have about 5 or 6 different classic Sega games in the poll, and we're going to let our readers vote on what game they want the Sega Nerds team to talk about and play that week. And we're going to, whatever one wins, we're going to play it throughout the week, and then we'll talk about it on the next Nerdcast. So it's, you know, we're just trying to get some of our listeners in on the Nerdcast a little bit, and so you guys will be able to actually choose what game you want us to talk about. So hopefully you'll like that. And our current Sega poll, we asked you what would you like the Sega Nerds team to improve on, and we chose there's five different questions on that, or answer choices. One is better Sega news coverage, more reviews about older games, more fan participation, more exclusive features or content, and just better overall writing style and grammar. Now, first off, with 33% in leading is better Sega news coverage. So it looks like we need to start writing better on that. however, the good thing is, though, no one voted on overall writing style and grammar, so apparently people are kind of pleased with our writing, so that's not too bad.
Yeah, that's good to
hear.
I
think that, yeah, it's definitely good news for us. So there you go. Hopefully we'll have another exciting week like we had this week. Maybe we can finally get that confirmation on the Knights game. Possibly, maybe, we'll see. So hope you guys have a good week. Hopefully your cars don't break down like mine, and hopefully you don't get demoted like Graham will be. Take it easy, fellas.